93 FM. Keith Murphy.
This is your time.
Andy Fails.
Whoa, I don't play defense.
It's the Murph and Andy Show, powered by AD.
Just a bit outside.
On 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
Hour two of the Murph and Andy Show. So glad to have you with us here on a Monday. Andy will be back tomorrow. We're on 1460 KXNO on 106.3 FM. Gosh, that was nice over the brief break there. I just heard from numerous people who just enjoyed Ike Butker so much. You know, not a guy starting in the AFC Championship game, played for the Hawkeyes, but because he's on the offensive line, don't hear that much about him, and he just sounded like a really nice, humble guy.
He did. He sounded like an Iowan.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And that's it's cool to hear guys who have gone on to bigger and better things. You know, they've made it. He's a big deal now in Buffalo, getting noticed at Chipotle. And yet he still kind of, you know, has this love for Iowa, still kind of sounds like one of us, talks like one of us. That was cool. That was fun. If you missed any of that, the podcast is up, powered by Fairway, and that'll be at KXNO.com as well.
The Stuff and Things podcast, free plug there, points out, and this really is interesting, the coolest tidbit about Butker is his former high school teammate and Alabama recruit, Ross Pierschbacher, isn't a starting lineman in the NFL, and Butker is.
That's incredible.
And Butker was the quarterback.
He was the quarterback of that team. Pierschbacher was blocking for him.
Yeah, he's like a five-star guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, you never know.
That's really cool.
That is cool. Let's get to Trending Iowa on a Monday.
Time to find out what's Trending Iowa.
Trending Iowa. Iowa's up to number 4 in the new men's basketball AP poll. The Hawkeyes host Indiana on Thursday night, but this weekend's game against Nebraska has been postponed due to COVID in the Husker program. Drake is 7th among others receiving votes in the AP poll, just after Duke.
I think Drake would have moved up with some wins over Loyola. There are some people it's like, all right, we need you to beat a name brand, and then we'll get you into that top 25. And it feels like that was going to happen with Loyola, but now we just, gosh, it's been a long pause, missed practices and such. You just look forward to Drake getting back. As for Iowa, up to 4, so right behind Villanova, right? Villanova hasn't played much.
No, they haven't. So it's Gonzaga, Baylor. Those are kind of everybody's consensus top two teams, both undefeated. Michigan was creeping up, and it felt like they were about to make a big jump there, but then a bad loss. Well, a lopsided loss to Minnesota, because I think Minnesota's 10th now. So not a bad loss in the Big Ten, really, to be had, other than, you know, against Nebraska.
Well, that loss by Michigan to Minnesota should make some Hawkeye fans feel a little better. That was a meltdown. Iowa never should have lost that game, but did lose that game. But you see that Minnesota has the potential.
And Michigan looks beatable.
Yeah.
Which they didn't before that.
Liam Robbins, the Drake to Minnesota transfer, he was the star of that game.
He's incredible. And the way he played against Garza in both of those games. Now, Garza, numbers-wise, really dominated that last one, the win over Minnesota last weekend. But for much of that game, it felt like a battle between the two of them. Again, Garza, you know, 33 points. I think Robbins had 11. So in the end, Garza dominated. But that's as good of a one-on-one matchup I've seen Garza have in the Big Ten in a while. And that's saying something for a guy who was playing at Drake last year.
And that's the kind of matchup that's going to make Liam Robbins better, because that's the kind of matchup that Garza lost when he was a freshman or sophomore.
Yes.
But now he's the guy doing the teaching, and Robbins was really good in that game, so that's interesting.
It'll be interesting to see if this Iowa-Illinois game is scheduled for a week from Friday. But Illinois' game just got canceled with Michigan State for this weekend. Iowa's game with Nebraska for this weekend just got postponed. So now both Iowa and Illinois are going to have a free weekend. You wonder, do they move that game up and then try to reschedule some of these games? You know, that feels like a window of time, and two teams that are available and ready. You just move that game up 4 or 5 days, and then you have another window where you can reschedule some of these other games, because it's going to get stacked at the end of this season if they want to get a Big Ten tournament in.
You mentioned Nebraska, and I did hear from Fred Hoiberg today, and he's had a tough time with COVID.
I saw he had symptoms, but I didn't get much more than that.
I mean, he's going to be okay, and he was in good spirits and everything, but he said because of his heart condition that he was just about to get the vaccine.
Oh, wow.
Because he's vulnerable because of that heart condition.
I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah, he said, so that was just some unfortunate timing. And, of course, Fred comes to mind for some people because yes. We all leaped to an assumption, even when we're trying not to, when he looked so sick on the courtside at the Big Ten tournament.
That epic night where the NBA canceled, and you know, one of the few things going was this Nebraska game at the end at the Big Ten tournament, and he looks on the sideline as sick as can be.
Yeah, and they quarantined the locker room.
It turns out he was going to be one of the first main celebrities to deal with this disease, and he wasn't.
It turned out he had influenza, but that left such an impression that immediately when I posted that Hoiberg has COVID-19 and is experiencing some symptoms, there were many people who immediately said, I thought he had already had it, because they kind of have the right idea in mind, but they forget that he did not have COVID. It turned out to be flu, but that seems like it was 3 years ago.
It does.
That was March.
Jeez.
That was less than a year. It was 10 months ago.
Trending Iowa. Iowa State has paused its men's basketball activities due to COVID protocols. Wednesday's scheduled game against Texas has been postponed, as was Saturday's game at Kansas and the previous game against Kansas State, although that was a Wildcat issue. No word yet on this Saturday's game at number 15, Texas Tech.
I feel like the grind of this when you're not having a good season has to be so much more difficult. Like when you're not winning, when you're winless in the Big 12, and it's already tough, and you take that 27-point loss to Texas Tech, and you're trying to make this a developmental year, you're trying to get better, and you get hit with this. I mean, this has got to be a big part of leadership and coaching, is keeping these guys mentally on board when you pause like this. And I think some programs, like Virginia, the women's program last week, I think they were 0-5.
Yeah.
They decided to shut it down.
Yep.
They're like, look,
it's not worth it.
Nobody loses a year of eligibility. We don't want to do this anymore. I think you could see some more programs doing that. And I think I'm not suggesting Iowa State's going to. There's no reason to believe that. But I do think we're going to see more programs that really don't feel like they have a shot at the goals they have for a given season, just feel like, you know what, at this point, this is a sign. We got to stop.
Because people could still get better. You know, you can still have practices. People could still work out. But
yeah,
you kind of take all that pressure off. And as you said, to be as isolated as they must have to be. It's one thing if you're at Iowa and you're, you know, playing for history, and you feel like we're all in this together, we're doing this for a reason. It's got to be pretty tempting to just go away from some of these restrictions when things aren't going well.
And if you're Iowa, you really, with each pause, you worry more and more, are we going to get to the end of this season? Is this tournament going to happen? You know, like John Sears last night was kind of on the same page as Fran McCaffrey, who's saying, forget about having a firm date on this. Play this tournament whenever you can.
Yes.
If it has to be late April, if it has to be May, these guys are in school anyway. They're not on other teams. There might be a rare exception out there, like a Connor McCaffrey, who also plays baseball. But for the most part, their schedules are open. Many of them are in remote classes anyway. You're also talking about a $1 billion behemoth here. They're trying to keep on the tracks with scheduling. And it's not just a matter of, let's switch thousands of hotel rooms and venues and all that. It does take planning. So somewhere you want to find the best possible situation. But this is really trending in a bad direction as far as they're just, until the game tips off, you realize it might not happen. And Iowa has now been, how many games has Iowa had postponed? Two?
Two, yeah, in just the last week.
Both the other team.
Yep.
Drake is shut down for 2 or 3 weeks here on a pause. Northern Iowa's already been shut down, and Iowa State has lost 3 straight games at least
to COVID-19. And they had lost a couple of of non-conference games. Remember DePaul, they were out warming up before that DePaul game, yes. And then that got canceled.
That's right. So, yeah, it does, even in the conference play, and the Big Ten is running out of schedule. It's like the Northwestern game. That was supposed to be tonight.
Yes.
It was moved to last night and then to yesterday morning. Just because they're trying to clear out more space.
And that's kind of why I've seen people saying, you know, this about this Iowa-Illinois game, which is scheduled for next Friday night. But both Iowa and Illinois' opponents this weekend have had to postpone due to COVID. So you don't have a lot of time to play with this. Maybe now is a good time to get these teams together earlier than scheduled, earlier than planned. And, you know, if you can move things up, that leaves you some room later on, which in basketball you just don't have. You have two games a week. You can't squeeze in much more than that.
I should know the answer to this. I don't. Is the Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis or Chicago this year?
It was supposed to be in Chicago. They, I think over the weekend, announced that they've moved that to Indianapolis.
Okay. That makes sense. If they have it at all, you're taking another week of potential...
Yeah,
it's starting
to trend, it feels like they're just going to kind of put a kibosh on all these conference tournaments.
We're not done yet, but there are some trends in the right direction here in Iowa and all four regions, so it's showing some trends in the right direction, four regions of the country. It's still bad out there, but Iowa is starting to trend in a positive direction, and if we can get these vaccines picked up, maybe if the pace picks up, maybe we can get this NCAA tournament in. What's your percentage right now that it's going to happen?
It has to happen. It's going to happen. I've 1,000%. Murph, since last March, I haven't allowed my mind to even go to the place that this isn't going to happen. I need this to happen for this Iowa Hawkeye team.
It's
going to
happen.
Finally, trending Iowa, the Iowa women look to start another home winning streak this afternoon with a game against Purdue tip-off about 15 minutes away on WHO Radio. The Iowa State women follow up their win over Baylor with a home game against Oklahoma tomorrow night.
That 3:30 game, yeah. John Sears and I were talking about this last night before sound off. It's like you need to remind yourself to check the schedule every day because these games are being put just all over the place.
Yeah, right.
I forgot the Iowa women play this afternoon.
Yeah, Big Ten Network wanted to get them on TV, get Caitlin Clark on TV, and so they adjusted some of their times. Oh, by the way, Caitlin Clark, freshman of the week again this week in the Big Ten. Shockingly.
Six times now.
Yeah.
That's it for Trending Iowa.
Well, the Green Bay Packers put it on the L.A. Rams.
Rodgers takes, fakes the handoff, looks to throw, lofts it down the middle. Lazard's got it, and he's gone! He is gone! Touchdown! The Packers with a dagger! 31-18, Alan Lazard, 58 yards!
That is Urbandale and Iowa State's Alan Lazard with the dagger. Is that Wayne Larrivee?
It is,
with the Packers radio network. Big touchdown there for Lazard. Mike Green at Iowa State Sports Information says that was the first Cyclone touchdown in an NFL playoff game in 35 years.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's a while. So really cool. For Alan Lazard, who we had him on, was it last week?
I think that's right.
Yeah. He was on the show. He's always been really good to us, and glad to see him doing well. I know, gosh, the people in Urbandale, Iowa State, just positive to see him. Also reminds me, remember we all thought Alan Lazard was going to be drafted?
Oh, yeah.
And then he wasn't. And we're like, what? And I remember, I wish I knew the day so we could hear the audio, but some old curmudgeon called in like, hey, well, you know, I know how you guys here at the Cyclone Show, you know, wanted him to be drafted. And just, you know, just because you want somebody to be drafted doesn't make him good enough for the NFL. I mean, I know all you guys with in the Cyclone media just didn't pay attention to the fact that Alan Lazard shouldn't be drafted, and it isn't going to be. Do you remember that call?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
He should have been drafted. He's good.
He is.
Yeah,
very good.
He's good. He's fast enough. He's a big target. He's a receiver. He's a got the kind of work ethic, and you can see the kind of teammate he is. You can feel the respect that Aaron Rodgers has for him, which I imagine is not an easy respect to get.
Exactly.
So he should have been drafted. I think that I hate to say these kinds of things because I oftentimes feel like, no, you're imagining that. But I think in this case, where Iowa State football was at that point, it probably did hurt him that he played at Iowa State.
Yeah, because he put up big numbers at Iowa State. He made big plays in big games against really good teams. It's not like he was Troy Davis, you know, toiling away on really bad Iowa State teams.
No, he was an all-conference receiver.
Yeah.
Had a big game against Oklahoma when they were in the top five.
And should have been drafted, and NFL GMs made a mistake by not drafting him.
That just seems crazy. But anyway, Alan Lazard with the big touchdown there. Tom Brady, this seems like it's a misprint, but it's not, advances to his 14th championship game.
Second down and goal from the one. Quarterback sneak. Tom Brady, did he get in?
Yes.
He's very close. Is it a touchdown, Mr. Ref?
Yes.
Sean Hockley, touchdown, Tampa Bay. Breeze dropping, looking, throws the pass to the right side. It is intercepted on the far sideline. Bucks have the ball. Tampa Bay Buccaneers 30, New Orleans Saints 20. Tom Brady's the man. The Bucks are the team. And we have defeated the New Orleans Saints, our nemesis, over the last 3 or 4 years.
That is the Bucks radio network there. So the Bucks beat the Saints by double digits, becoming the first team in a playoff game to have been beaten twice in that season by double digits, and then turn around and beat that team by double digits.
That's incredible.
Yeah,
14 championship games is amazing. I heard Colin Cowherd say it'll now be three different decades in which Tom Brady plays in a championship game.
Yeah, he's
close to four, because I think it was like 2001 or so that he got there the first time with the Pats.
He's ahead of all but three teams for championships. It's 14.
That's amazing.
Championship games. And with that win, he now has 32 wins. The second closest quarterback is Joe Montana with 16.
Jeez.
Half.
He's doubled up Joe Montana in playoff wins.
Yes.
And it doesn't seem like he's ready to hang it up. I mean,
no, Breeze looks like he's ready and
he does.
And needs to. But no, Brady, and this Bucks team that can look so good at times and then not so good, looks like a team that's still kind of finding itself. You know, they can be really good and sometimes they're not all fitting together, but that looks like a team that could contend again next year. He looks like he can play at age 44.
And they smoked the Packers in the regular season. I mean, that was a beatdown of the Packers. I only remember that because I was with my Packer family.
So enjoyable for
right,
you.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. And so I think this AFC Championship game, or NFC Championship game, rather, the Packers will certainly be favored. But don't count the Bucks out just yet. And you're right. I think he's going to play again. Did you see the cool moment between and Drew Brees on the field after the game?
I knew what you were going to say. Yeah, that was with playing catch with the kids.
Playing catch with the kids. Brees' wife gives him a big hug. You can tell there's just like a lot of respect there. It was just a really cool. You can't hear what's being said. You're far enough away that you're not really in the moment. But to see that whole thing play out, I really, really enjoyed seeing that this morning.
Yeah, that was nice. And Brees goes out as, if he goes out, I know. Jay Glazer said he's done. He's the all-time Saint, the all-time New Orleans Saint.
Yeah.
You forget.
He had almost a full career with the Chargers.
Yeah, you forget the Charger years because he just became the Saints guy, won a Super Bowl with them. But that was cool. And Brady to do this, the Bucks didn't sniff the championship game last year. Now they're in it. Belichick's not in the playoffs this year.
It's incredible.
The Patriots had a lot of opt-outs and problems. I don't think anybody's questioning whether Belichick's a good coach or not, but this does add to Brady's legend, even if they don't get by the Packers.
Yes, absolutely.
It's another championship game.
Even if this is the farthest he ever gets with the Bucks, to do this in his first season in Tampa Bay is remarkable.
It really is. So, quickie poll presented by WCI Pools and Spas.
Who do you want to win the NFC? And who do you think will win? Who do you want to win? Is it the Bucks or the Packers?
Be interested to see how this, because this has There's certainly many Packer fans around here. There's the anti-Packer faction, which I think you're the Polk County president.
I am, yes.
And there's the Tom Brady's had too much success. I'm annoyed by him and who would eat avocado ice cream crowd. So we'll see how this goes out. Earlier in hour one, we were putting together all the Iowa and Iowa State connections in the Bills-Chiefs game, and I left out Anthony Hitchens.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, and I forgot about him, too. He's a linebacker for the Chiefs.
Ike Butker mentioned him during our conversation. And in this Bucks-Packers game, what a game for the CIML, the Central Iowa Metro League. Three players represented in this championship game. You have Alan Lazard out of Urbandale, Dom Daphne out of West Des Moines Valley, and Anthony Nelson out of Waukee.
Wow. Iowa high school players
playing. Three CIML guys in that game.
In the NFC Championship game. That's super cool.
And Dom Daphne, did you see our Zoom with him last week?
Yes, I did.
Talking about this summer, working the 300 club.
Yeah, he's working just bouncing at the bar.
Yeah.
Sure.
He's like, get
some work in.
There's easy money because I was bored and I can only work out so much each day. So
now he's catching touchdowns from Aaron Rodgers.
Sat by the door and really didn't have to do much. People up there they didn't know that the bouncer was going to be in the NFC Championship game this season. That was awesome. All right, when we come back, birthdays. If you want to play Guess Whose Birthday, it's 284-5966, 284-KXNO. I'd be glad to have somebody take my place, but 284-5966 and more on the
Patience apply.
In the market for a great deal? Shop careers at Fairway. From the meat department to the bakery to the store floor, we're hiring. Full-time, part-time, careers for a lifetime. There's more in store for you. Apply now at fairway.com.
Time for a little game of Guess Whose Birthday here on the Murph and Andy Show. It is powered by Cellular Advantage. Murph, you are going to have to play today, but I did bring in caller Steve. Steve is going to play against you. What's up, Steve?
How's it going, guys?
Let's do this, Steve.
All right, Murph, you're going to be up first. Show him how it's done. Guess Whose Birthday?
I like the quiet one immensely. He's been patient and inquisitive.
That's Kevin Costner.
It is.
Kevin Costner is 66.
He is 66.
Oh, well done, Steve. Here we go.
Steve, the pressure is on. Guess Whose Birthday?
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball.
Man, it's an all Costner edition.
It is.
That sounds like James Earl Jones.
It is James Earl Jones. And how old do you think James Earl Jones is today?
I would have given you a better guess on Kevin Costner. I'm going to go with he's 80 years old today.
He is 90 years old today.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Talked with a stutter as a kid, and now Darth Vader.
Just like one of the most iconic voices of all time.
Voice of CNN for a long time.
Yeah.
A voice of in Field of Dreams there. Wow.
All right, Murph, guess Whose Birthday?
That is what Barack and I think about every day. That when someone is cruel or acts like a bully, you don't stoop to their level. No, our motto is, when they go low, we go high.
That is Michelle Obama.
It is.
I had a friend in high school whose motto was, when they go low, I get high. He was kind of like the Spicoli of our
How's he doing these days?
I think he's still there at the tree, getting high.
How old is former First Lady Michelle Obama?
Former First Lady Michelle Obama is 53.
She's 57.
Dang.
Which is kind of remarkable. She's been out of the White House for 4 years now, and the Obamas are still in their 50s. We just elected an 80-year-old president. Anyway.
Yeah, I hear you.
Steve, guess whose birthday?
Not good like 1 out of 100.
More like 1 out of 1,000,000.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah!
Oh, that's great.
I have two teenage boys in the car with me, so if I get this wrong, it's going to be humiliating. That's Jim Carrey.
It is.
Okay. Jim Carrey is probably older than I think he is, because I thought James Earl Jones was 80 and I was way off. So, let's go with, well, I'm 43. He's gotta be, Jim Carrey's gotta be 54 years old.
He is 59, so it's a miss, and Murph, you win.
I got the tiebreaker.
Yeah, the tiebreaker with the Costner, straight on.
Well, Steve, you did well, though. Tell your kids you did well, and thank you very much for listening. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys.
That was fun. John, yes.
Call in. I don't know.
John, you have fun trivia about the NFL?
You know, Keith, I got to give you, first of all, my trivia bona fides, or bona fides, if you really want to be. I used to do a trivia radio show.
Uh-huh.
I've had a head for useless knowledge my entire life.
Okay.
And I was blown away by what I'm about to tell you.
Let's hear it.
And there's no way to even form it as a question, so I'm just going to lay it out there. No player from Alabama has ever scored a point in a Super Bowl game.
Really?
Really. Now, first of all, I want to make sure they have thrown passes
right.
for touchdowns, including the very first one by Bart Starr. But
yeah, Starr, Namath, Stabler,
the gold line. Huh. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, yeah, Starr, Namath, Stabler to name.
Yeah.
But not
but
scored.
None of them. Nobody's caught a ball in the end zone, run it into the end zone, kicked a extra point or a field goal.
That is good
in
trivia.
In the entire history of the Super Bowl.
In all, yeah, was it 55 years? That is really
That's
surprising.
Remarkable.
That's good. That's a good one, John. Thank you.
I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find a college team that over the 55-year history of the Super Bowl has not been better, or that has been, rather, better than Alabama in the balance of things through those years. And and I'm sure the number of players from Alabama who've played in the Super Bowl is in the, you know, hundreds, well into the hundreds, but they have not racked up any points. So
that's good, John.
Gift to you this day.
Thank you. That's a good one. Yeah, you think of Iowa, you immediately think of Tim Dwight scoring touchdown. Iowa State Super Bowl point.
Ooh.
We have to ask. Nothing comes to mind. First NFL playoff.
Did Hobbs ever score a?
Not that I'm aware. Does it? No, because it had been 35 years.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, there's a difference between a point and a touchdown. Lazard scored the first touchdown by a Cyclone in 35 years.
But Iowa State's football history is not Alabama's.
No. That is
remarkable.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right, let's get some more here on a Monday.
Let's do it. It is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Many celebrate it as a day of service, others as a day to post MLK quotes on social media. See a lot of that.
A lot of that, yeah.
It is the third Monday in January because MLK's birthday was January 15th. Yeah, you know the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. If you don't, please go look into that. I don't need to dive into that here and now.
Yeah, know it pretty well. And having gone to college in Georgia, this is something I maybe knew better than some. If you go through the Atlanta airport, there's a place there where they have like a bunch of MLK memorabilia. A lot of people fly through Atlanta. I think it's one of the busiest airports in the world. So it's worth just going by there. For one thing, you'll say, like, oh, he was a smaller man than I thought. You know, sometimes when somebody is that larger than life, you think they're going to be 6'3".
But he was
a small guy. You see that suit, and you're like, wow, that's not a big guy.
Despite mitigation plans put into place for a protest at the state capitol building yesterday, no protests materialized. The FBI has warned of armed protests at all 50 capitol buildings, as well as on Capitol Hill in D.C., leading up to Wednesday's presidential inauguration. But nothing to see there this weekend.
That was a relief.
Yes.
And I hope that continues.
Yes.
I understand after what happened nearly 2 weeks ago, why there is all this security and why there's all this high alert status, but you just hope it ends up being something. In part, as more and more of these guys are being dragged off to jail.
Yes.
I mean, you'd hope that'd be a deterrent. It's like, you do this, you're going to be arrested.
I've got schadenfreude out of some of these arrest videos, you know, these people being taken off of airplanes and things, and I didn't do anything. Well, you stormed the Capitol. Like, I'm sorry, you did do something, and now you're being brought up on federal charges.
And what's... I missed this, and I'm sure there's a reason. What's with the dudes in the costumes?
Yeah, it's,
what is that?
I don't know. It's a weird fantasy. I don't know.
I'm going to storm the Capitol.
Right.
But as part of this insurrection here, I'm going to dress as a Viking, or I'm going to put on a cape. I'm just really puzzled by that.
Oh, hey, I just got an update on our question about Iowa State scoring
yes.
in the
oh,
Super Bowl. Keith Kreffley scored a touchdown for the Eagles. He played at Iowa State. The reason I know this is he grew up with my dad in Potosi, Wisconsin. My dad just texted me.
Wow.
That Keith Kreffley, who played at Iowa State, scored a touchdown for the Eagles in a Super Bowl.
Well, first of all, that's not even a name that's familiar to me.
It's
so I'm
so
glad that
familiar
you
to me
said that.
Because I grew up knowing that Keith Kreffley was my dad's buddy who played in a Super Bowl. And so, like, to me,
yeah.
this is like an iconic name
yeah.
that most other people have never heard of. And then, you know, getting more into Iowa State, he's you know, got a decent legacy up in Ames.
Well, that'd be a long time ago.
It'd yes.
be one of those early Eagles teams, probably the Ron Jaworski
yeah, probably late,
team. But that,
late '60s, early 70s, I guess mid-70s probably.
Yeah, I think it'd be the '70s. Wow. Okay, so, but Alabama, and John knows the stuff, so I'm going to trust him
on
that.
Yeah, I'm going to trust that,
too. And there certainly have been impactful Alabama players, as he pointed out.
For sure.
Joe Namath.
Bart Starr won the first two Super Bowls.
Yeah, Ken Stabler, among many, but... That's some interesting trivia.
So we talked about the three CIML players playing for a Lombardi Trophy, actually playing for the NFC Championship game, Alan Lazard, Dominique Daphne, and Anthony Nelson. It's even further than that, Murph. Iowa, the University of Iowa, has more players on active NFL rosters of the remaining four teams than any other school in the country. 9 Hawkeyes are on active rosters of the Packers, Bucks, Chiefs, and Bills. LSU, Michigan, and Mississippi State have 7 players each. Alabama and Clemson have just 4 players each. Still left alive in these playoffs.
And if I'm at Iowa, I'm putting that out on full recruiting blast.
Absolutely.
That's a really impressive stat for Iowa, because those are not 4- and 5-star guys coming in there for the most part.
No, Ike Bucker was a quarterback at Cedar Falls his junior year.
And yeah, and then switched to tight end.
Starting for the Bills.
And then spent 1 week with the Chiefs.
On this day in 1975, Murph, this was the number one song.
I never realized
Barry Manilow scores his first number one single. Over the next 8 years, he would put out a string of 21 more top 40 hits that helped earn him recognition by Billboard as the top adult contemporary chart artist of all time.
I don't have any Barry Manilow in my music playlist, but I will tell you that I can get surprisingly caught up in a Manilow ballad and think, that's kind of okay.
Well, you're not alone, as illustrated in this famous clip from Family Guy.
Get ready, Quahog, because Barry Manilow will be performing this weekend at the Quahog Performing Arts Center.
Barry Manilow.
What a joke.
So stupid.
And boring as hell.
Yeah, no kidding.
You couldn't pay me to go to that thing.
Hey, you know what we should do? We should go just as a goof.
That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, just look at all the idiots.
All the dumbass Manilow fans.
Yeah. I mean, he's got like one good song.
Yeah, I mean, Mandy is not terrible.
Yeah, the opening's okay.
And I guess you can't hate Copacabana.
Yeah, if you're in the right mood.
Daybreak is a good song.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good song. And I like Weekend in New England.
Yeah, it's a good one. Looks like we made it.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Right?
I love Barry Manilow.
Oh, my God, he's the best!
I have everything he's ever recorded!
Me too! In my car!
We have to go to that concert!
We are going to that concert!
And, of course, they go to the concert, they sing the song, all of the things.
Oh, the voice work...
There's a lot of guys like that.
Voice work there is so good.
It is.
That you can hear Patrick Warburton. His
yes.
voice is so putty.
Yep. All right, Murph, on this day in 1896, the first college basketball game with 5 players on each side is conducted by the University of Iowa. Now, the sport had been played since 1892, but 7 to 9 players had been used on each side. Iowa invited athletes from the University of Chicago for this experimental game, in which Chicago won 15 to 12.
Oh, gosh.
The idea was
born of... Did Licklider coach the team?
The idea was born of Iowa physical education teacher Dr. Henry F. Kallenberger, who came to Iowa from Springfield College, where he was a classmate of Dr. James Naismith.
Wow.
So his buddy invents this game. He says, you know, this 9-on-9 stuff isn't working. Let's try 5-on-5. First game ever is played in Iowa City on this day in 1896, and now the Hawkeyes are on their way to a national championship.
So says you. They that was good when you started with the 1896, yeah, whatever it was. Immediately, I got a little bit of that Sipker trepidation.
For sure.
Like, where's this going?
I understand.
Who's gonna get cholera or something like that? I mean, I was scared, but that was interesting. I haven't heard that little piece of history.
Well, let's stick with some more Iowa history. On this day in 1950, Indians pitcher Bob Feller, after a 15-14 season, voluntarily takes a $20,000 salary cut, drops his salary down to $45,000. He goes to the team and says, "I didn't perform well enough to earn this money. Take $20,000 back." He had a rough season, a rough couple of seasons up to then. He did get it back in the mid-50s, and I think he was fifth in AL MVP voting in one of those years. But after a tough season, he gave some money back. I didn't earn this.
That's remarkable.
I mean, Can you imagine that now?
No.
They sue. I mean, you get paid every dime no matter what.
And it really is more significant when he did it because $20,000 at the relative scale of that time, when even a well-paid player had an off-season job. I mean, now it's generational wealth when you're a pitcher and you're good. It's not.
Yeah, he could have used that. That was a third of his salary. He could use that money.
And that's now. I mean, even allowing for inflation, baseball and sports salaries have gone up exponentially beyond anything anybody could have even imagined.
And even with like $20 million a year, if a current athlete gave back any amount of money, $20,000, the same amount that Feller did, because he didn't perform to his expectations, it would be the front. I mean, we would all just be lauding and fawning over this person for giving back like 0.1% of their salary just for the integrity of it. He gave back a third of his salary because, and he still won 15 games. He was 15-14. It's not like he was awful. He just wasn't as good as he thought he was going to be. He didn't feel like he deserved that money.
I can't think of, there probably is an example of somebody doing something like this, and one of our listeners will make us aware of it. The only thing that remotely comes to mind, and they're not the same thing, is just, you know, Pat Tillman signing that big contract and then deciding instead after 9/11 he's going to join the war efforts.
That's another one of my favorite Feller stories. You know, he's driving to Cleveland from Van Meter. He hears the news about Pearl Harbor. He stops in Chicago and enlists. Different level of man.
Yeah, different era of man. And Feller could be kind of cranky, but you can't question some of these things that he did that are very much Iowa, small-town Iowa values.
Let's stick with Iowa, small-town values. On this day in 2009, Kurt Warner leads the Cardinals past the Eagles in the NFC Championship game.
You know, everybody's going to be tired of hearing this, but I never get tired of saying it. There's one reason that I'm standing up on this stage today. That's because of my Lord up above. I got to say thanks to Jesus. You knew I was going to do it, but I got to do it. And secondly, I just say thanks to all of you guys. When nobody else believed in us, when nobody else believed in me, you guys did, and we're going to the Super Bowl!
First of all, listen to that crowd. Remember crowds?
That's a real crowd. That's why he called his book First Things First.
Yep, and his third Super Bowl appearance certainly cemented him as a Hall of Famer. Probably would have been there before that, but to take the Cardinals to a Super Bowl, albeit a loss to Pittsburgh.
Almost won it, though. That was a great Super Bowl.
That was a really good game. And then last thing here on this day in 1958, Willie O'Ree takes the ice as a Boston Bruin and integrates the NHL. He's the first African-American to play in the NHL in 1958. He was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame in 2018. He's still alive, 85, lives up in Canada, and the NHL now awards the Willie O'Ree Community Hero Award each season.
That's a name I should know, and I
same
don't.
Here. Never heard it before.
Willie O'Ree?
O'Ree, like O apostrophe R-E-E.
Okay, Willie O'Ree, just exactly as it sounds.
Yeah, hadn't heard that before, but learned about him today.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well done on the more. When we come back, you know AD loves a good foreign
language. FM Today.
Time for another $1,000 slam dunk. You can text the keyword bank to 200-200 right now for a chance to win $1,000. That's bank to 200-200.
You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest.
You see, Bryce Miller, our friend, has written a story about Willie O'Ree breaking the NHL color barrier.
That's
so
really cool.
We shared that on Twitter. If you're on Twitter, it's at Murph underscore Andy, and you'll find it in the Royal Mile inbox. But right now, it is time for the Andrew Downs audio drop of the day, the AD squared.
The Bills' 100-yard pick six was our play of the day. Here's how it sounded in Spanish.
El tiempo de jugada, pase que le interceptan. Lo que tú estabas diciendo, Edgar. Ahí la está retornando, va todo máquina. Tyrone Johnson. Sigue Johnson, pasa la 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, entra Lenson. Touchdown de los Bills de Buffalo. Tyrone Johnson.
Love it.
I love when you can understand just a couple of words.
That's all you need.
Los Bills de Buffalo.
By the way, Andy, birthday boy Andy, who was not even here today, wipes the floor with you in throwdowns.
Shocking.
So he's had Andy. Andy's on a good run there. Let's get to the Royal Mile inbox for today's quickie polls. Who do you want to win the NFC Championship? Packers with 63% of the vote. The Bucks 37%. And who do you want to win the AFC Championship game?
Chiefs.
The Bills.
Really?
With 55% of the vote. Chiefs 45% of the vote. So that could be the influence of the man known as the Girth of July, Ike Butker.
I think so. And if you missed that interview, it's up on KXNO.com, powered by Fairway.
Coming up next, the sports fanatics will take over here in the studio. Stick around for that. Andy, back tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day.